Donnie opens this session with a look at the fascinating history of dowsing and its likely origins. She delves further into how dowsing works and the significance of setting intentions with this process. She then explains the concept of oneness and how it relates to dowsing. Donnie then takes you on a journey that enables you to release lower frequency energies that no longer serve you. And finally, she ends this session teaching you the prayers to use when beginning the dowsing process and concludes with a studio audience demonstration on the power of prayer and how it too can greatly affect one's energy.
We've experienced seeing dowsing in action, and we've heard some ways to use it. Now let's hear about the history of dowsing, and then more about what dowsing is and how it works. It's some interesting facts to understand that what you're doing is an ancient wisdom, an ancient technique to tap into this divine database. There's evidence 7,000 years ago in caves, where in the cave drawings or the petroglyphs showing use of dowsing instruments. Egyptian hieroglyphics also show evidence of dowsing instruments in use in the pictures. Usually they were rods. The Egyptians had a word for it that meant instruments of knowing. I like that. It's the divine database, an instrument of knowing what's in the divine database. King Tut, whose reign was about 1334 BC, when they opened his tomb, they discovered he was buried with his own personal stone pendulum. And it was interesting, a little different style. It dangled from an engraved wooden rod. And there were various hieroglyphics inscribed on this rod. It was a dedication to the pharaoh Thutmose IV, who was his ancestor. This seems to me that they viewed it as a sacred object, or they would not have had these inscriptions and valued it so much to place it next to him in his tomb. The ancient Chinese rulers also showed the use of forked rods in their murals. Rulers would have big murals made of things that occurred during their reign, and in it, dowsing rods and instruments were in use. Another interesting one was in Ireland, in Carrollmore, which is a sacred site. This dates back to 4000 BC, which would be 6000 years ago since we're in the year 2000. There they discovered rock crystal pendulums. So they were in use there as well. They've been in use across the entire world. Moving up to the Middle Ages, they used them to find coal deposits and water. Both of these things were very essential to their survival, the coal deposits to heat their homes, the water for drinking, cooking, bathing. Most people are familiar with dowsing, thinking of it as the best place to drill for water. It's a Y-shaped branch, and they pull it off of a tree, and usually it's depicted, like in the Western movies, this old guy coming out with the Y-shaped tree branch. As he walks across the land, he's asking, where is the best place to drill for water? And it shakes and moves and goes down and points to the ground, and he tells them, dig here. They dig there, and the water spouts up, and everyone cheers. And it makes it possible to have life in areas where there was no water before. It's a very special thing to have this skill. And I would never want to diminish the value of using it to locate water, because that is so essential to our very lives. With dowsing, you can determine the flow of the water, the depth of the water, whether it's potable or drinkable, all kinds of things about the water before you drill so that you can select the best place. And it's expensive to drill for water. So a dowser really has to be accurate and know what they're doing to get good results if they're being paid for their services to locate the best place to drill for water. So it's a skill that's extremely worthwhile. Other names for dowsing that have been used are water witching and divining. You may have heard these used as well. It's the same thing as dowsing. Dowsing, where you're using muscle checking technique, is called kinesiology. And this is a form of deviceless dowsing. Where do we get the name dowsing? If there's other names, where do we get the name dowsing? Well, there's a story that I like to tell about George dowsing in England at the time of King Henry VIII. And they've verified that he was a real person. Some people are concerned about the authenticity of the story, but it seems to fit for me that the majority of the story is correct. At the time of King Henry VIII, he wanted to come up with some additional cash for his war chest and for his women. And so it had to be quick cash. The best way he could think of to do that, and it was really a rather creative idea, the pre-Christian or pagan kings had been known to bury treasure. So he thought if he could just locate some of this treasure that was buried, he'd have the quick cash he needed for the things he wanted to do in life. He engaged an entire group of, not called dowsers at that time, but a group of people to go out and search for these treasures. George Dowsing was one of these people. He would go along with a rod, and when you get to the place where treasure was buried, the rod would quiver, and he would point and say, "Dig here." And the majority of the time, they were finding treasure. I believe that he was good enough the majority of the time that we remember his name and think of it as Dowsing.